Now is an opportunity to sit meditation and listen to the Dhamma. If our mind is peaceful and well concentrated, and we listen to the Dhamma, at the highest level we'll be able to understand the Dhamma plain and clearly. When we say the eye of Dhamma arises, this means that the faculty of wisdom arises in our hearts. Or if it's not as high as that, the listening of Dhamma can overcome doubts about the Dhamma, aspects that we don't understand about the path and practice, such as practicing generosity, keeping the moral precepts, or how to train the mind and meditate. We begin to understand more and more. Faith and confidence arises, and then joy, rapture, and happiness arises in our heart. There emerges a freshness or true life within the heart. This is because the Dhamma is the food for the heart. If the mind is agitated, going here and there, and not concentrated well, then the benefits of listening to the Dhamma are small. Like Venerable Anya Kodanya, who determined to listen to the first teaching the Buddha gave, and his mind entered the Dhamma, the mind understood the truth of nature, of all physical and mental phenomena. All the material aspects, such as our bodies that the mind attaches to, or other external objects, such as trees, mountains, seas, material objects that humans create and make, Venerable Anya Kodanya understood that all these things are impermanent. They have the nature to arise, stay, then to pass away. He saw clearly into the nature of all things. We call this seeing the Dhamma. Because his mind was one, it was still and peaceful while listening to the Dhamma. Then, when he contemplated into the Dhamma, he understood clearly. The other four of the five ascetics listened to the first sermon as well, but they still had doubts and their minds were not still and concentrated, so they didn't understand clearly into the Dhamma. Why is this? Because the mental defilements, the cravings and attachments are firmly grasping our heart. They have a deep hold over our hearts. This then leads the mind to have thoughts and proliferations, to have doubts and worries, and to have sensual attraction in different things. Especially in this modern day, being technologically advanced, all things are more easy and convenient. But the grasping and attachments are also greater too. It's not just that we will overcome our inner suffering through the development of the world. Loko is a word for the world and means that when the world develops, darkness within develops. If the world develops in terms of material advancement, our hearts become more darker because the attachments are greater as well. These attachments arise in the heart. The four of the five ascetics didn't see the Dhamma in the first sermon, but later on they determined to listen because they knew the leader of their group, Venerable Anya Kodanya, had seen the Dhamma already, and so they determined to listen and to follow his noble attainments. When the Buddha gave the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta on emptiness and the lack of self, all the five ascetics attained to arahantship. Thus, listening to the Dhamma has potentially the highest benefits, that it can extinguish the attachments and grasping within the heart. Wherever you are listening to the Dhamma, make sure to establish your mindfulness firmly, and when you contemplate into the teachings, then the mind will develop according to its ability. Doubts will disappear, and you will know the way to practice the Dhamma. In the end, when your spiritual merits are full, then you will see the Dhamma. It may happen in this life, or maybe when you meet the next Buddha, then you will see the Dhamma or become a fully enlightened arahant that has been liberated from all the defilements and destroyed the attachments that have arisen within one's heart. Upadana, these attachments that one has within the mind, how can we compare this to? We could compare it to a gecko. Its feet are really sticky. If it's stuck on the ceiling, it could die any time and it will still be stuck there. If a gecko sticks on us, it's really difficult to peel or to get off. They have a Thai saying that to get a gecko off, it will take the time it takes one to drink 3 big barrels of water. It's really difficult and bothersome. The attachment of the gecko or the ones that die on the ceiling are really sticky and scary. If we compare the geckos to the kilesas or the mental defilements that take a hold of our heart, the mental defilements are way worse. These attachments last beyond this life. They go across lifetimes. Do you think samsara, the cycle of birth and death, is long? The Buddha said that we can't find the beginning of samsara. If we go back to our past life, we may have been born as a human, a deva, an animal. And what about the life before that? And it goes on and on. And what was our first life like? We can't find the beginning of it. The future lifetimes in samsara keep going according to our grasping and attachments. It's really sticky and firm within our hearts. When we haven't got rid of the attachments, then we have to keep being born and dying over an incalculable amount of lifetimes. Each life that we are born in, we experience both happiness and suffering. But is this happiness real? The thing we call happiness, after no long time, it becomes the cause of suffering. When we get something we like and love, that thing changes, and then suffering arises in the heart. We get this body and we like it, but it changes. We can walk easily at first, but one day we can't walk too well. The knees are no good. Our balance becomes no good. Different pains and sicknesses arise in the body. Can we rely on the things we own or call ours? Wealth, fame, praise, happiness. These are loka dhammas, or the worldly conditions. On the opposite side are loss of wealth, loss of reputation, criticism, and suffering. These are the worldly conditions we don't like. These worldly conditions have two sides, the ones we like and the ones we don't like. If we like it, then there arises attachment in our hearts, which is sticky, much more sticky than the gecko that sticks on the ceiling. If it's something we don't like, the worldly conditions that we don't like, then suffering arises. So this all means that we are born in the world, so we have to meet with both sides of these worldly conditions. So we should contemplate so that Dhamma arises, to see that all these worldly conditions are uncertain, they are unstable. We won't be able to rely on them all the time. Venerable Ajahn Chah said something very profound, that these worldly conditions are like a decayed timber log that is about to snap. We go and use it as a support and we think it's strong, but one day the log will break and it's very dangerous. The roof it's supporting might fall down on us, or maybe if it's supporting us on a high place, we may fall to the ground hard and hit our head. We could even lose our life. We may even get hurt or become handicapped. These worldly conditions are very dangerous in the same way. We need to have the mindfulness and wisdom to contemplate them so that we don't let attachments take hold of our hearts. Or even if the attachments are already there, by contemplating the Dhamma, we can loosen their hold gradually. Like you all coming today on this Uposatha day, and you all have sacrificed the pleasure one gets from sleeping and relaxing at home. You've woken up early and come to the monastery to make offerings, give alms, listen to Dhamma, and to practice chanting and meditation. This is letting go of attachments and happiness to one level. The coarse attachments that are very sticky in the heart and that most people aren't able to let go of makes them unable to come here to search for merit and goodness. Or we can call it wholesome and clever conduct. And you all have been able to give those attachments up completely. Some people can come and offer alms each day or practice on each weekly lunar observance day. by keeping the moral precepts, chanting, and practicing meditation. There are some who in the past have constantly got drunk to the point of getting into many car accidents, but now they determine to change their life and will strictly keep the 5 moral precepts and won't drink again. Those that are determined can do it, and this means that they have merit and spiritual potential from the past and can overcome these attachments in the heart. By getting rid of attachments that are stuck in our hearts even more than the geckos sticking to the ceiling, this will make the heart free and light, have brightness and cleanliness, and inner peace develops gradually. When we build our spiritual merits like this, then it won't take long when our spiritual potential becomes full and we will see clearly in our hearts. We can see the sankharas that are constantly decaying. When we build our spiritual merits like this, then it won't take long when our spiritual potential becomes full and we will see clearly in our hearts that these sankharas or conditioned phenomena are constantly decaying. Last Friday during the video conference, one Dhamma practitioner in America, Trudy, said that the wisdom spontaneously arose that this life must end in death, and it slowly melts away bit by bit, day by day. This arose on its own without actively contemplating death. She has a big house but finds it difficult to look after, so wants to sell it for a smaller house so that she can have more time to practice the Dhamma. She asks that how can this wisdom arise in the heart when she didn't even contemplate death? I answered that it is the wisdom that arises from one's meditation practice. It gradually overcomes the upadana, these attachments in the heart. When we overcome them like this, more and more, then we get skilled at it, and wisdom and insight arises, and we understand. Then we can let go of craving and attachments. Suffering arises from upadana, that is attachments, and the suffering persists because of craving. It keeps persisting, birth and death, birth and death, every life onwards without any end. So if we are to cut off becoming and birth, we must destroy these wrong views and attachments within the heart. These are difficult to loosen, but if we are sincere in our determination to do it every day and to contemplate every day, we will be able to gradually overcome them. When we do this often, then in the end, the Noble Eightfold Path of morality, concentration and wisdom combines into one, and we will be able to let go of attachments and change our wrong views to that of right views, like Venerable Anya Kodanya and the other ascetics and the other noble beings in the Buddha's time all the way up until this day and age. They all accepted the nature of the truth of sankharas, these conditioned phenomena, whether physical or mental, that they must go according to nature. They arise, stay for a while, and then pass away. No matter how much the world develops, all these conditioned phenomena still arise, stay, and pass away. If we know this nature of things, this is called knowing and seeing the Dhamma. We see the self, that is, seeing the self as not self. If we see the self as being us, this is seeing it in terms of ignorance, craving, and attachments. But if we see the self as really not a self, this is seeing the self according to reality, according to truth, seeing it in terms of Dhamma. This allows us to let go of our attachments gradually. So I give my anumodana to all of you who have let go of your attachments, sense pleasures, and comforts in relaxing and sleeping, and instead have chosen to come and build goodness instead. If we practice like this, we will loosen, pull off, and can give up our attachments. These attachments in the mind are much more difficult to get rid of than a gecko that is stuck to the wall. If we try to clear the gecko softly off with a stick, it doesn't get it off at all. It's really stuck. The kilesas or the mental defilements are the same. If we try to clear them away softly, they don't loosen for sure. You need to put a lot of strength into it. You have to rub, pull, scrape, rip it off, every method, so that we can win over the attachments that arise within the heart. May you all be determined to practice Dhamma, and may you all see and know the Dhamma.